Hi, Madge. I know you've been asking for some listener voicemail content. Well, my name's Emily. I've been listening to you since I was 17. I'm 31 now. I don't even live in the same place where I started listening to you, but obviously you're a podcast, so you come with me wherever I've gone over the last 14 years. I was around for Andy Melton, just so much stuff. I'm sorry to hear about Trotsky. But yeah, I also work at Target for that $15 an hour. I had to download a voice recorder on my Android and poor. Well, anyway, I have to go back and listen to figure out how to email this to you with my Fiat breathing going on. Anyway, I love you. I'm a long time listen turd. I'll be sure to get you a donation with my $15 an hour now that I'm rolling in the dough. But anyway, I love you. Okay, bye.
Sit down, get comfortable, put a leg up, take it easy, take a break, man, it's Yeast Radio. Let her shock you, let her thrill you, excite you, entertain you, man, it's Madge Wednesday. Your hostess with a monster, she's got it where it counts. She got a heart of gold and she's got it right now. And she'll make you think and she'll make you laugh. And she'll make you cry and she'll make you sing.
Thing on. Hey, I'm recording, and it's really nice. I don't know, somebody's doing something really weird in front of me. It's weird. I'm recording something for you. It's called a podcast. I don't know what he's doing. He's dancing on the screen. It's very weird. Anyway, that was a lovely message from Emily. Thank you so much. I'm sure I know you from a while back, but due to my elderly memory issues, to put it mildly, I do not recall exactly who you are, Emily, but that was very sweet. You started when you were, what, 17, did you say? You're probably the same age as Deborah's. 27? Oops, can't say that. Never mind, Deborah's 90. Oops. Whatever. Yeah. So, that was very nice. I love the retro messages. And also, I like the business with the transitions when I speak. I love those. It's pretty hot out. It was raining earlier. I went out. I did my Python training class. Oh, so fun. How I love coding. And my bonnets. And then I ate lunch. And now I'm going for a little walk recording Grump for you. And me, really. So, also, I was very glad. Try not to breathe into the mic too loud. Because when I listen to it, I hear this. Dump, dump, dump. Trying to talk. Not directly into the thing holder. Also, I was very pleased that my friend Max Kaiser tweeted that this is his favorite podcast for the past 10 years. I guess before that he liked, Adam Curry's. I don't know. But for the past 10 years, Max has... This is his favorite show. And, you know, that just made my day yesterday, I have to say. And today, Emily's voicemail made my day. So who's going to make my day tomorrow? Well, that's very nice. Really impressive. And plus, Max has like over 200,000 followers. So I appreciate the promotion, even if he's not telling the truth. But we won't tell anyone about that. Max is amazing. You should always, of course, watch his Kaiser Report on RT or YouTube or wherever. Just Google it. I used to do their editing for, I guess, like 7 months when I was living in Paris. Well, I moved to Paris to help them do that when they added the third show a week. And it was an interesting time. And in fact, I just found footage. I was been in the basement, you know, with all my computer problems. Yes, and I have to go through all my hardware and find cables and stuff. And I found some old hard drives. And I found a hard drive of from when I was in Paris. And I went with Max and Stacy to a couple protests. When they were having the Occupy protests in 2011, in the fall, they did a protest in Paris. And then we went to London and did some filming there. My filming is terrible. It's so shaky. I don't know what's wrong with me. I've always been the worst camera person. But I'll see if there's something useful in any of that. I was hoping to find the footage from Max speaking at the first Bitcoin Expo in Prague. And it was the same time of year, but I haven't been able to find that footage. I must have it somewhere. So, yeah, there's that. And we've got these brown shirts now. These Trump federal marshals, whatever the fuck they are, just roaming around being Nazis everywhere. So, God. So the best thing, though, is I'm reading this Trump biography by Mary Trump. Oh, my God, is that a good book? It's just, I just like dirt. Like, I remember reading that unauthorized Oprah biography. Oh my God, was that good? Just so, I just love when people dish the dirt at somebody who they hate. I love that. Like, write a book about somebody you hate and spend hours and days and weeks and months writing about someone you absolutely hate, and it's wonderful. And this book is so good. Mary Trump hates him so much, Donald, and she just rips him to shreds. And it is just amazing. I guess she's like a sociologist or a psychologist or something. But the way she just destroys him is... I mean, I don't like that kind of, I don't like that verb, destroys, because it's nonsense. Because, you know, of course she doesn't destroy him. That would be amazing. You know, if she, like, literally destroyed him. But that's not what's happening at all. Well, my goodness, but... But I don't know which street I'm supposed to go to. I don't know. I'm going to go one more street, actually. I'm going to just stand here and wait. I'll walk by the more quiet area so I don't have to yell it when there's trucks and buses, you know, garbage trucks and all that horrible shit. I need to record in the afternoon when the hydrangeas... Not the hydrangeas, the locusts come out. What are they called? Cicadas. And they make that zzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzz I love that sound. Oh, but it's so good. So she's a psychologist or something. I don't remember. I'm sorry. But she just analyzes him so well. And she knows everything about the family. All the family history. You know what I found fascinating is that her grandfather, or his grandfather, died from the Spanish flu. He died from the Spanish flu, the last pandemic, major killing pandemic. Well, I guess AIDS was one too, but before COVID, he died from it. You'd think he'd give a shit more when his own fucking grandfather died. And just how, like, narcissism runs in the family and sociopathology. And it's just, the way she goes into the details, it's just phenomenal. The way she deconstructs his rotten personality, and it makes you realize, like, wow. I mean, you might know he's a horrible president and a horrible person, but when you read this, it's just, she makes the case so well that this guy is so bad he just has to get out of office today. I mean, it's just magnificent the way she explains the whole thing. And he was, you know, as a child, just, well, basically what happened is his mother was sick. She had a miscarriage around the time he was a toddler, like maybe 1.5. And so she had to go to the hospital, and then she was sick, and she was just absent as a mother. Well, then his father was just a workaholic, and he did not give a shit about his kids. And he was basically like a mirror image of the son. So he was just no love for the kids at all. No love at all. So it was basically the kids, in order to get attention, they had to scream. And the older brother, Fred Trump, he ended up dying of alcoholism, but he was supposed to be the anointed one. So he was the one that was just, by virtue of being the firstborn son, got all the attention, because he was the one that was going to maintain the Trump family name. And the older Trump, Donald Trump's father, was a horrible sociopath. Just only cared about himself, only cared about money and his business. That's it. Did not give any love to his kids. So there's a mother's absent. The father is giving no love to the kids. And Mary, the writer, explains that, you know, from what she knows about psychology, that children without love just are, it's terrifying for them. It's a horrible existence because they need to have love, and they need somebody to mirror to learn how to live. And they didn't receive any parenting at all, and no love. And the result was, so the older one was supposed to get the attention. So in order to get, any attention at all, Donald had to just scream. Oh, there's the cicadas. Donald had to scream to get any attention and just, you know, do this constant, like, I don't know if you call it showboating or whatever, where, you know, you have to constantly say, look at me, look at me, look at how great I am, look at how great I am. And it's just gone on ever since then. And he learned to respond to any sort of criticism with anger. And anger has been his only mechanism, so nothing gets taken inside of him. And no criticism whatsoever gets taken. It just gets responded with by anger and screaming. And he's just really just this completely undeveloped baby. And he has no skills. He's been institutionalized his whole life, is how she put it. He's never had to fend for himself. He's never had to feed himself. He's never had to work for anything. It's all just been handed to him. And then his whole, you know, success of business has just been posturing. Just been a system of posturing and posturing. Is that a dead rat? Yes. Flat as a pancake. Just posturing. I mean, it's one thing, we all know this, everybody who's listening knows this, but the way she explains it is so amazing that you really just have to read it, because if everybody reads this book, there's no way this guy can win again. There's just no way. I mean, he's just, it makes it even scarier that he's president. It really does. It's amazing to me. It's terrifying, because he's really just this lonely little unloved child screaming to compensate, completely, you know, unanalyzed, no ability to look inward, never has, never questioned anything, and a complete, you know, which makes him a complete narcissist. Multiple psychological disorders, starting with narcissism. And but it's all because nobody loved him, and still nobody loves him. He's just a wretched person, and he's in charge of the world. And the way that Trump explained it is that when she saw that he had gotten elected, won, and she was supposed to be at the victory party, but she said she couldn't go because she was too excited for Hillary to win, that she wouldn't be able to contain her happiness when Trump lost. Of course, he didn't. But she said, like, when she saw that Trump won, her immediate feeling was, oh my God, the whole family, my dysfunctional family, has now been extended to the entire country. And that's what happened. Just the way, like, it's just, I don't know. It's amazing. I've my memory isn't that good, and I'm not good enough at explaining it, but you have to read this fucking thing. You can download it for free at one of the weird sites if you don't want to spend the money. But you have to read this book. Because, you know, it's amazing how, oh God, what's in charge of our country, and what's the damage that has happened because this baby is running it. It's just phenomenal. We've never had anything close to this running a country, I guess. Although, I don't know, though I do remember Bush, too, and he was quite awful. And he was like a little baby, but we just forget quickly. And he was responsible for the Iraq War. But I think it just gets worse. It just gets worse. I don't know. But I'm glad that he finally put the mask on and said, wear a mask. I wish people wouldn't be hard on him for that, because it's good. You know, it's fun to be partisan, but for that, that's going to save lives, to have all those idiots wear masks, you know? Those people that follow what he does and says are going to wear masks now, I guess, right? Or they'll follow QAnon and say, no, it's a secret message or something. So, yeah. I was thinking, I had kind of a realization yesterday. I realized, you know, a lot of the people that don't wear masks, well, the realization is because when I was wearing my mask yesterday, I noticed that my breath stinks. And I don't know if it's because it really stinks or because my mask needs to be washed. My Cambridge mask from Cambridge, England, that I waited for months for. But I don't know. I'll have to wash it. But I was thinking, boy, this thing stinks. Is it me or is it my breath? And then I thought, you know, maybe the reason people don't wear masks is just because those people that don't wear them have really bad breath. They don't brush their teeth. So their breath stinks. So the next time you see somebody not wearing a mask, you can just say, maybe you're not wearing a mask, sir, because your breath stinks. Does your breath stink? Pew, what stinks? It's you. Blech. Pew, what stinks? The cicadas are very loud, aren't they? Should we go to the tunnel? No, we're not going to go there. I don't have time for that. We'll just walk by a little more. I'm in the park just west of Lakeshore Drive, like Barry and Sheridan, if you want to look on a Google. Maybe you want to Google that, I don't know. If you want to, you can. I ain't finna stop you from Googling it. And then I read in the Chicago Tribunes that Lori Lightfoot is going to cooperate with federal authorities with these fucking brown shirts. What the fuck? She's garbage. I've been talking about this, but that lady is garbage. Oh, neoliberal piece of shit, loves the military. She just makes cute memes. She did another cute thing with Power Rangers yesterday, some superhero shit. And a few days ago, she said, no way are these, you know, paramilitary brown shirts going to come into our city. And then 2 days later, okay, we'll work with you. Da, 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 da. And then she's being praised by the DHS secretary on CNN with Cuomo last night. Fuck's sake. She just wants to be president or something like that. Maybe she's going for VP. Maybe they're going to just surprise us with she'll be VP instead of Kamala. Who knows? My money's still on Kamala, though. Though Duckworth would be good because she's named after a duck, and also she's from Illinois, but I don't know where she is on Medicare for All. I don't know where Lightfoot is on that either. But my opinion on that hasn't changed. Barbara said, sent me a podcast to listen to. Sounds like Biden might be headed towards Medicare for All, but I haven't listened to it yet. I really hope so, but I still contend that he has to be if he wants to win. There's too much up in the air. So, you know. my doctor, I talked to him today. I don't have COVID antibodies, by the way. I was tested. And he said that he's worried that Trump's going to steal the election, you know, by fucking with the post office. Yeah, that's possible. I'm more on the, I think I mentioned it before, I'm more of the opinion that he's going to pull an October surprise and say, hey, everybody gets health care, everybody gets Medicare, looking left of Biden, and then he'll just kind of ambush the left. I mean, because, you know, if he can sort of do a, what do you call it, a B-turn, a B, B-line around Obama to the left, grab a couple of progressive policies and win, because that'll make Biden look really stupid and progressives will just not vote for him. Oh, somebody's singing. What's that? It's like a little stage in front of a retirement home. What is this? Gertel. I think it's a drag queen. It's an old age home. I'm gonna put my mask on.
When I kiss him, fever when he holds me tight. Oh, fever! I'm his missus, so daddy, won't you treat him right? Now you listen to my story. Here's the point that I have made. Chicks were born to give you fever. Be it paradise in a grade, we give you fever. When we get you fever, if you hold us tight. Fever, till you sizzle. What a lovely way to burn. What a lovely way to burn. What a lovely way to burn. What a lovely way to burn.
Fever. I'm having a fever. Oh, I got a nice breeze. Hello, sir.
Hi.
And miss. Nice to see you.
She was talking to me. She thinks I'm a man.
Hello, sir and miss.
It said Connie, songs for seniors. What about that audience? How'd you like that little treat? Now I'm scared. I think she wanted to fuck me. I think Connie. I did snap a photo. Maybe I'll... I mean, it's going to be a bad quality, but maybe I'll be able to... That was horrible. All right, let's see. I'm going to close. Maybe I can zoom in, and it'll be grainy, but might be worth it so you can see Connie. Connie and her songs for seniors with a giant eye. I just realized the funniest part is that she had a giant iPod. I'm sorry. She had a giant iPad, like an 8-inch iPad on a tripod in front of her filming. She was being filmed with an iPad. Oh, I hope that's in the picture. Oh my God, I can't take it. Connie's singing for seniors. I guess I'm one. God, my butt really itches. And I think I need to go home and shit and shower. I didn't shit today. I had meetings all morning, and then I had my Pythons class. Oh, God. Oh, God. I had to sit on this horrible meeting, right, with Microsoft Teams. And then, I think I talked about it before, and the guy's like, oh, it's so wonderful, Teams, because the administrator can see what the fuck, it can do filtering, right, so it can tell you if somebody's calling somebody else an idiot. And it won't tell the people chatting, but it'll tell the administrator. So in other words, it spies on people without them knowing it and reports them for hate speech, right? Now, who the fuck's going to want to use that besides every idiot on earth? Oh, but there's there's no such thing as cancel culture. There's just accountability. Really, you're going to spy on my language and report it to my boss, and I don't even get to find out about it? And then I got fired for no reason because I called somebody an asshole? Or I referred to my boss as an asshole? Oh, fuck that. Anyway, that's not the point of this particular branch of conversing with you, audience. My point is just this. They promised everyone who attended the goddamn thing a free goddamn box of jelly beans, and only one of us got it out of my team. And by the way, why do they call it a fucking team? It's not a fucking team. It's just people that work together. That's stupid as hell. It's a team. Yeah. Anyway, Microsoft, where are my goddamn jelly marines, you cheap motherfuckers? You promised me jelly beans to go to this boring as fuck meeting with some hipster wearing a fucking hat, and a potato head with a goddamn stupid hat. Oh, here's how to use Teams. You don't need a class to learn how to use Teams. It's fucking chatting. Of course, it's bloated like every other Microsoft product with a goddamn kitchen sink. But I don't need lessons on stupid software like that. Do I need lessons on programming? Yes, that would be nice. But I don't need a lesson on how to use, you know, video chatting. So I did it for the jelly beans. I don't even get my fucking jelly beans. Oh, fuck you, Microsoft. Give me my fucking jelly beans. Maybe that should be the title of the gram. Let me tell Siri. Make a note to call the program something about jelly beans being owed to me by Microsoft or something. God, oh, her translation is horrible. Here's what Siri said.
Something about jelly beans sings O.
She said, I think I'd even lost it. Just as well. God, Lord, what garbage everywhere. Yeah, it deleted it anyway. That's fine. Fuck you. No, it's not fucking fine. Make a note about jelly beans.
I created a note. Jelly beans.
Yeah, thank you. I forget if that's the South African accent or the Australian accent, but I like it all right. So, yeah, I'm really excited about Apple Silicon. I'm really fucking excited about it because I am betting that it's not going to rip burn my vagina anymore. I am so tired of having my vagina burnt by my laptop. That thing runs so fucking hot. I have a MacBook 2019, 13 inches. It's 13 inches. It's a MacBook Pro. And, you know, when I use it, it's just too fucking hot. If it's doing any work of significance, it's just warm. I don't want to type on a warm device. Let alone if I put it on my lap, it's so hot. I hate that shit. So I'm really hoping that the new ones will be cool. I mean, it's cool if you don't, if you're not running anything but Word or web browser. So, oh God, it's so annoying. And then I looked, I'm thinking, well, what if I sold this thing? You know, I can only, even though I bought it last year for like, I don't know, $1,700 plus the shitty AppleCare, which is a rip-off, Apple will only give me $650 for a trade-in. Fuck you. It's fucking ridiculous. Does anybody know where I can trade in or sell this thing? Does anybody want to buy it? I don't know. Why do I want to sell it? No, I don't want to sell it till I have the Apple silicone. I really hope it's like cool like an iPad. Maybe I should just switch to an iPad. I wonder if I could do that. Maybe I should do that. All right, yeah. Who wants to buy my my MacBook Pro 2019, 512, 8 gig, 512 gig, and then 8 gig, and it's a 13 inches touch bar, two ports, the butterfly keyboard, which is very rare and very amazing. You'll love it, from 2019. You could buy it from me and consider it a donation. It's perfect. I still have the box, and there's no things, dents, scratches, none of that. Yeah, it's good. So yeah, consider that. What else? Again, thank you for the contributions. I want to just list my social media real quick. We've got Bloated Lesbian Twitter, Bloated Lesbian at Gmail, Firm Uterus is the phone number, Instagram Madge Weinstein, no Facebook. I read a funny tweet from somebody, and she said, She said, you know, how people used to bitch, you know, brag that they have no TV and they don't watch TV. Well, saying you don't have a Facebook is the same as that was. So I'm one of those. I'm like, I don't have Facebook. Fuck you. So, ha, ha, ha. So no Facebook. Yeah, I do have, oh, there's the Discord community, which has been kind of dead. If anybody wants to liven that up, please email me and I'll send you an invite. No donation or anything required. You don't even have to be a human. You could be a bot. I don't care. So, bloatedlesbian at Gmail. All my content. Oh my god, I'm farting. Again, fever. What was her name? Connie. Oh my god, she freaked me out. She wanted to fuck me. I swear, Connie wanted to fuck me. Connie's Songs for Seniors. I better link to her. Connie. She's the type who will, like, Google herself and find this. Hi, Connie. Hi, Connie. You looked so sexy up there with your Songs for Seniors. Do you do takeout? Honk, honk. Why is he honking? It's a Yukon. Yukon Betty. Anyway, I think I'm done. Am I done? No more locusts. I need to go home and shit. And shower. These people are all wearing purple. You know what sucks about the pandemic? No free samples. Where are my fucking free samples when I go to the store? And even Trader Joe's doesn't have free samples anymore. Even Mariana's, though, that mean bitch who hated me. I mean, she never gave me samples, but the other lady did. She would have cupcake and muffin samples. But it used to be the Trader Joe's had a sample every fucking time. I don't think I've ever gone to pre-pandemic, never went to Trader Joe's and not been offered something like a nacho and some sort of mango salsa that I don't really want anyway. But it's nice to be asked, you know? It's nice to be asked. So that and that. I don't know if I have anything really else to complain about. I mean, everything's horrible still. That hasn't changed. They are closing the bars on Friday in Chicago. I'm glad for that. Let me check my Twitter sheet. Is there anything urgent I need to discuss? Griselda. She got two boxes of what? Both. She's going to do some unboxing for me. Okay. Oh, I was going to make my phone call before I went home. I'm a fever. Let me check my Twitter sheet. Let's see here. Oh, himbos are stupid. Himbos. There's this guy who I used to follow. I unfollowed him yesterday on Twitter. And he's like Muhammad something. And I only followed him because his picture's hot and he's in his underwear with showing his abs. And I'm a lesbian, but still, I like to be equal opportunity that way. And so he was like, you know, he's posting stuff, but it's kind of like, some of his stuff's funny, but most of it's just annoying because he'll be like, he has to post this stuff to make people realize he's straight and not gay, like, you know, things about women. And once he fucked a girl and she had an IUD and it ripped his dick and he showed a picture of an IUD, you know, stupid shit like that. But his profile's like leftist himbo, and that's just too annoying. And for those of you who don't know, a himbo is a male bimbo. It's just so dumb. And stuff that I still do it. Hate stalking. Enough. Yeah, I'm troubled. I'm deeply troubled by a lot of things, audience. Deeply troubled. Alright. Alright. Well, I'm done. Bye. Wait a second. Marco Rubio posted, "Hide me from the malicious crowd, the mob of evildoers." Psalms 64:3. That dude is fucking nuts. Alright, that's enough. Bye for now.
Great. radio was responsible for many great inventions. The ladies in particular took to their hearts one such development, the daytime serial. Now, this kind of drama was unique and owed its success, I imagine, to the fact that it dwelt on real kinds of problems that were solved 5 days a week. The characters became family friends. Listeners wrote with advice, sent anniversary gifts, holiday cards, and remembered birthdays. It didn't take long for the daytime serial to be known affectionately as the soap opera, named after the sponsors. Let's listen in.
Now, Lorenzo Jones. The rocky road that winds through Joyland Amusement Park, the Jones' latest venture, is paved with good intentions, the chief of which is Lorenzo's plan to sell his newly discovered sulfur water as a cure-all. He's persuaded Belle to let him try it out, using their chicken barbecue stand as a base for operations. Lorenzo's nephew, Henry Whitcomb, thinks, as always, that his Uncle Lorenzo has something there. Henry's wife, Nellie, suddenly stage-struck, is interested in a screen test ever since a moving picture director working with a group of actors in Townville has casually asked Nellie to come over and watch them work. Today, Lorenzo, Belle, and Henry are at the barbecue stand preparing for the first customers to try out Lorenzo's sulfur water. Let's listen.
All right, Henry, now if you'll grab hold of the other end of this barrel of sulfur water, we'll set it right here on the counter of the barbecue stand.
Now, Lorenzo, you and Henry be careful. Don't knock over those glasses and dishes I've stacked up.
All right, we'll be careful, Aunt Belle.
Oh, easy, Henry. Henry, turn to this side with the spigot facing us.
Yeah,
that's right. There. Now, my good wife, we're ready for the crowd that'll come here today to try out my sulfur water.
Well, dear, I only hope your new health drink won't interfere with the sale of my barbecued chicken.
Well, Belle, you see, the healthier they get imbibing my super sulfur potion, the more portions of chicken we'll sell.
That's right, Uncle Lorenzo.
Sure.
The healthier I feel, the more I want to eat. Gee, do you think we'd have a big crowd out here today?
Big crowd, anyway. Here comes the first auto of the cavalcade now. You'll find people coming out in droves, thanks to the power of American advertising genius. Another $50 worth of handbills judiciously distributed, and we'll have everybody in the world calling for sulfur water.
Well, dear, maybe you're right, but aren't we supposed to have a permit or a license to sell a health drink?
Well, a permit to help people regain their vim, vigor, vitality? Well, Belle, who ever heard of the Good Samaritan with a druggist license,
well,
huh?
I suppose I'm wrong, but things are always happening to us.
The following program will be interrupted for any important war bulletins. And now, the romance of Helen Trent. Helen Trent. The real-life drama of Helen Trent, who, when life mocks her, breaks her hopes, dashes her against the rocks of despair, fights back bravely, successfully, to prove what so many women long to prove in their own lives, that because a woman is 35 or more, romance in life need not be over. That romance can begin at 35.
Blame Bill. Danger threatens Bill Davidson and Nancy, his beloved daughter, and Kelly Donovan, her husband, because of the mysterious, sinister actions of Ira Brewster, who beat Kelly for district attorney by lying about Nancy's supposed parentage.
Why, it's you, Mr. Willoughby.
Hello, Bill.
Well, I didn't expect to see you way down here in Hartville again tonight. Why, you look all in.
I am rather tired, Bill. Been a long, confusing day for me.
Here, Mr. Willoughby. Sit down. Let me call Nancy. She's back in the kitchen. I'll have her bring in some hot coffee. Maybe you'd like something to eat.
Oh, no, Bill, thanks. Don't bother Nancy.
Oh, Nancy will want to hear whatever you've got to tell me. Oh, Nancy?
Yes, Daddy? What is it?
Mr. Willoughby's here. You better come in. Oh, and bring some coffee, will you?
Oh, yes, Daddy. I'll be in a minute.
Life was never simple and easy for the real-life characters in our soap operas. Marriage, separation, illness, even death played a part. The heroines came from all walks of life, even from the theater itself.
And now Mary Noble, backstage wife. Mary has been the victim of a false friend, Armand Delubac, who took her diamond engagement ring with the promise of having it repaired. But instead, Armand pawned the ring and tried to blackmail Mary and Larry. And when Marcia Mannering tried to make it appear that Mary was in love with Armand and had given the ring to him, she turned Larry violently against her. And thereupon, Marcia conspires with Armand to get even with Mary and Larry. When Mary and Larry later discover that the ring has disappeared from the shop, Mary is heartbroken. And Larry resolves at last to notify the police.
Well, Mary, here's our story in all the afternoon papers.
Yes, Larry, I've seen it.
Famous actor reports theft of wife's jewels to police. A very concise and accurate statement of facts, I'd say. And you certainly can't feel that this is very damaging publicity, Mary.
You got around it very nicely, Larry.
Well, the police have cooperated, too, not revealing anything to the press except what's printed right here.
But why, I still have the sinking feeling that something's bad's about to happen, Larry. The doom's hanging over our heads.
Well, I've managed so far to keep those reporters from getting a hold of me. They've been banging at the door all morning, clamoring for more details, but if I can just continue to duck them, I don't think that any more will leak out.
Oh, it's not only the reporters I'm afraid of.
What do you mean? You're taking this thing awfully hard, Mary.
Oh, Larry, what's going to happen when or if the police do catch Armand or whoever it is that has my ring?
Well, we'll just get the ring back and prosecute the scoundrel, that's all.
But don't you see? You'll still have to go through all that mess of a criminal trial.
All right, baby, so what?
But unless we can be perfectly sure of presenting the facts believably, the public will turn against you. They might think on the face of it that you're prosecuting an innocent man.
Mary, I wish you wouldn't be arguing against me in this thing. I've done what I think best in order to get back your engagement ring.
I know you have, Larry, dear, and I love you for it.
As radio changed its role, old favorites faded from the scene. For example, I know that many people shed a quiet tear with Ma Perkins. I suppose our youngsters would say cornball or square.
And now, CBS Radio brings you Ma Perkins. Well, what could be more appropriate today than to turn the clock back to join Ma and the folks at Thanksgiving dinner? Ma and the family have so much to give thanks for. Let's join them all. They haven't yet sat down. In the kitchen, we find Faye and Evie and Ma. Listen.
Shuffle and Willie are so hungry. Come on, honey. Let's get the cranberries. Look at the turkey.
And now, here's Ma again.
Thank you, Dan. This is our broadcast number 7065. I first came here on December 4th, 1933. Thank you for all being so loyal to us these 27 years. The part of Willie has been played right from the beginning by Murray Forbes. Shuffle was played for 25 years by Charles Eggleston, and for the last 2 years by Edwin Wolfe, who was also our director. The Faye you have been hearing these past few years has been Margaret Draper, and the part was played for many years by Rita Ascott. For 15 years, our Evie has been Kay Campbell. Helen Lewis plays Gladys, and Tom Wells has been played by both John Larkin and Casey Allen. Our announcer is Dan Donaldson. Our writer for more than 20 years has been Orin Tavroff. Ma Perkins has always been played by me, Virginia Payne. If you care to write to me, Ma Perkins, I'll try to answer you. Goodbye, and may God bless you.
Another kind of daytime radio program was the interview show. Perhaps you remember two of the most famous as the Noontime Kate Smith Show and Mary Margaret McBride. Now, Mary Margaret McBride is still on radio in many cities. Certainly, she must own a record, for her first broadcast went on the air in New York, May 3rd, 1934. Her guests have ranged from the great political figures to folks in the news.
I don't know whether this is really a respectful way to speak about a vice president, but one of the boys who do some work around your office, Mr. Vice President Barkley, said to me, "Doesn't that guy ever get tired?" And I said, "Well, how would I know?" He said, "Well, I didn't mean you to answer the question. It was just one of those rhetorical questions." Yeah. He just said that you tire them all out.
Somebody at the Meet the Press yesterday out in the audience asked me that question, if I never got tired.
And what'd you say?
I said I have never had a feeling of fatigue or exhaustion in my life. I've always worked hard, but it may be a bad thing, because if I got tired, I might go off and lie down and rest now and then. But never getting tired, I just keep on.
Uh-huh.
That's my answer, and that's the truth. I never do have a sense of fatigue or exhaustion.
Never in your whole life. I bet you that means you don't worry.
No, I don't, really. I don't mean that I don't think things over seriously, but I've got a philosophical view that worrying doesn't solve anything. And they tell me it creates ulcers in the stomach.
Oh, yes. I've known them to get it. Now, Mrs. Barkley, you can tell us whether he really lives by this or whether this is one of those things men say now and then.
No, it really is true. I can't possibly keep up with him, and I can tell you a cute little story about him that someone told on him when he was campaigning in 1948. It was either in 48 or 50. And he was touring very, very terrifically heavy schedule over Kentucky in a very small plane, which was piloted by a good friend of his, and a couple of the young men that were helping out my husband out were along also. And he'd been hopping all over Kentucky for weeks and speaking here, there, and everywhere, making 5 and 6 speeches a day, and he had all the men absolutely beat down. He, of course, feeling perfectly fine. They got in the plane to take off to go on to their next engagement, and the pilot, who's an old friend of my husband's, said that he just absolutely was so worn out from this terrific campaign and from trying to keep up with him with not nearly enough rest for an ordinary, normal person to go on, that he was at the controls, of course, and to his utter horror, he suddenly came to and realized that he had dozed and found the vice president very calmly just flying the plane. He knows nothing about it whatsoever, at all, absolutely nothing. And the pilot was so frightened for just a minute, he didn't quite know what to do. It gave him an awful shock. And he said, Oh, my, Mr. Vice President, he said, for goodness sake. And my husband said, "Well, that's all right, Charlie," he said. "You look like you were kind of tired and need a little nap." Of course, it was one of those little bitty planes. I must explain it. I almost fly them.
Trail,
yes, it was Charlie Gartrell.
Last
year. He said you just whipped him down, absolutely.
Oh, I don't know how you do this thing. But I certainly would have been a little bit. That means he's never afraid either.
No, he hasn't a nerve in his body, not one.
Now, back around 1926, radio invented something else, sponsors. Sponsors have provided comedians with more jokes than the Los Angeles smog. Red Skelton made his first radio appearance in 1937 on the Rudy Valley Show. And soon after, he was credited with this comment: "The longest word in the English language is the one that follows." And now a word from our sponsor. But one of the reasons both radio and television were able to provide free entertainment of the highest caliber was the advertisers who paid the bills. I'm sure you'll find a chuckle or two in these famous radio commercials. The first you hear is from Interwoven Socks, reputed to be the first singing commercial. The singers are the famed Billy Jones and Ernie Hare, who were known as the Happiness Boys.
How do you do, everybody? How do you do? Gee, it's great to say hello to all of you. I'm Billy Joe.
I'm Ernie Hare.
We're the Interwoven Pair. How do you do? Loo-loo-loo-loo-loo-loo.
Smoking stops, smoking rings, while a Chesterfield burns.
brushless shaving cream supreme.
Leaves your face so smooth and clean.
Pepsi Cola hits the spot. 12 full ounces, that's a lot. Twice as much for a nickel too. Pepsi Cola is the drink for you.
Rinse-o white and rinse-o bright.
L-A-V-A, L-A-V-A.
This is Sandy Becker saying, keep cooking with Crisco. It's all vegetable. It's digestible.
Longines is not lightly called the world's most honored watch. For Longines watches have won 10 World's Fair grand prizes and 28 gold medals. Longines watches have also won more honors for accuracy than any other timepiece. Longines, the world's most honored watch, is a product of the Longines Whitnor Watch Company.
You would give up your daughter for me?